Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Don't sweat the technique.
Now back to the Killer Bees
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Do you want Kevin Durant? 713-780-3776. I think they would be a contender with Kevin Durant. Like, if you don't take away, I know you can't do this, but if you don't take away anybody in their rotation, and like, here you go, here's Kevin Durant dropped into your lap, I think they're a contender.
I don't know if I can go that far. I obviously think they're greatly improved, but I think come playoff time, when all of the focus defensively could be on Kevin Durant, you got to prove to me that at least one of those other guys can be a guy that is capable of carrying that team, or at least in stretches and getting you those buckets in crunch time that we haven't seen guys do yet.
Yeah, but if you don't have Kevin Durant, it's more difficult.
Oh, there's no denying that, but there's also... I'm not saying that. I completely agree with that. But I don't think that you're a contender just because you add Kevin Durant because of that.
Yeah, we probably hit an impasse here. Like, I don't know if there's any – like, we can't argue
even
it back and forth.
Even in the unrealistic hypothetical situation where they lose nobody from the rotation and just drop Durant in, they're not a contender?
No, because you look at the other teams in the league that are true contenders, and they have multiple guys that do exactly what I said. They can close. They can take the ball, and they can finish, and they can get buckets. I have real serious doubts, as good as the talent level is and what the young players look like they could be, that they're not there yet when they take the ball out of Kevin Durant's hands.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that. But I feel like Kevin Durant would make their lives easier. Like, you have a guy who can be the closer. If the defenses are focusing on Kevin Durant, like taking the ball out of his hands, it's very difficult to do. But if they do, you have a guy who's a 21-point-per-game scorer that now is your second-best scorer. You have Alpi Shengun, who's an all-star, who's averaging 19 a game. That's now your third-best scorer. Like, that, to me, is pretty dynamic.
I mean, I'd
say... But there's a difference between dynamic to me and a team that can actually... compete for a championship. Because, like, I go back to the Minnesota game when Anthony Edwards just absolutely took over, and they didn't really double him. They tried to double him a little bit. They tried to get it out of his hands. But even still, I think that if they do that with a Kevin Durant who's not quite as athletic and young as he used to be, but you look at it and say, I can get a post defender to kind of keep a body on Alpi. I've seen Jalen get the ball in his hands to be that next guy up and turn it over or take some wild shots. To where, could they get there? Yes. Are they a better team by just adding him? No doubt, and they're more dynamic. But they have to get over the hump in terms of, can they get guys that can close out games when defenses just flat out say, Kevin Durant's not going to beat me.
I'm struggling with this because they're going to need that even without Kevin Durant.
Right, but I mean, how many nights in a regular season are teams going to actually... you know, flat out take the ball out of Kevin Durant's hands?
I think you're arguing my point here, though.
How?
Like, not often.
Right, during the regular season. But during the playoffs, that's all they're going
to
do.
But Jalen, like, if you're counting on Jalen Green and Alpi Shengun to be, like, your second and third best players, that's a way better option than asking them to be your first and second best players.
But they haven't really they can be their first and second best players or their top three best players on the team that they currently are, which... in my opinion, is not contending level. If you want to make them on a contending level, now there's got to be more emphasis and priority on the fact that they can do what they do for the majority of the game, but come crunch time, do I believe that they can do what they have to do to win key games? And I haven't seen them do that enough to believe that they can.
Yeah, I hear you, but I feel like it's easier with a Kevin Durant.
I mean, hypothetically, if Durant's getting doubled... I mean, someone should have an open shot.
Or even
if
he's not getting doubled, if he's just taking the best defender off of one of those other two guys.
Yeah, I do think it's – I mean, obviously he doesn't have the athleticism of Anthony Edwards, but given his height, I mean, even when people try to take away shots from Durant, he could shoot over most guys in the league that are going to come out to the perimeter.
whether you double or not, I think that there are enough teams that, one, are talented, more talented offensively with guys that can do that. But more importantly, into this discussion, I believe defensively, teams like Oklahoma City or a team like Denver that can throw guys that are 6'9", 6'10", at Kevin Durant so that they don't have to double, and then they still have guys capable everywhere else of defending, to where I think the Rockets would still struggle.
Okay. But still much better offensively with Kevin Durant.
I can't deny that.
Yeah.
I mean, Kevin Durant, you could put Kevin Durant on the worst team in the league. There's no doubt about it. Kevin Durant is a lot of things at 35, and he's getting older, and some of his skills may have diminished. He's still going to flat out get his.
Yeah, so the argument's more how good would Kevin Durant make them.
Yeah, are they a contender?
I think they would be a contender. You're off on that. And look, we would go in circles here if we just, you know, tore each other's eyes out over it. What would be the most you would give up for Kevin Durant?
See, they obviously want their picks back.
Yeah, they want to do a soft rebuild, I think.
Yeah, so if that is indeed the focus, and let's just, for the sake of the conversation, because I tend to agree with you, that as much as the owner has been hell-bent on not doing that, the reality is what you tried to do and another super team failed, that's what you're going to have to do in a lot of ways. They'd love to get their three picks back from you, but that's not nearly enough. I think they would want probably two of your core young guys. If you would somehow get them to take Jabari, that'd be great. But you're still probably going to have to part with Amen, or you're going to have to part with Jalen, or, you know, they'd probably try and look at Alpi. I don't think that Tari's enough. I don't think that Cam Whitmore is enough. Maybe it would be Cam Whitmore or Reed and two of the other guys, but I think that you would take a significant hit in your kind of all the cluster of your young players.
Yeah, they're drunk if they want all that. Like, I don't think they're getting that from anybody. Like, to me, that is overplaying their hand drastically.
Yeah, and again, it's what the market dictates too, right? So it's also going to be like, are there going to be other teams competitive that are going to have the resources for one? Because the Rockets have a ton of young picks. I mean, picks in the next couple of years that they can use. Not a lot of teams are in that situation. But yeah, what do they have young, you know, youth-wise that would be part of the conversation to get into the sweepstakes? I don't know how many teams are able to get into that sweepstakes.
Plus, NBA stars now kind of dictate where they get traded to.
Like
James Harden was traded in his prime for far more than, like, for far, far less than the packages you just put together. The Jimmy Butler, I mean, it's kind of difficult to tell because Andrew Wiggins, I think, is a pretty good player. But they traded Wiggins, Anderson, and a protected first-round pick for Kevin Durant. Like, could you trade salary filler, match the contract, two of the Suns' picks back, and then maybe like a Reed or a Cam where you're not really disrupting the rotation, but you're still adding Durant for future draft picks that you have and cap filler? Like, you probably traded Dylan Brooks to make the salaries match or a Fred VanVleet to make the salaries match.
Yeah, look, if it's possible, then great. The people that I've talked to and some of the things that I've read said that they are going to try and get a much higher price in the offseason than what they tried to get at the trade deadline. And it was really – they were actually trying to appease Kevin Durant to some point, and then they found out he didn't want to go to Golden State at all anyway because they were trying to get Jimmy Butler for Beal, and the no trade that Beal had just completely eliminated that from consideration. I don't know what the market's going to be. I'd be totally fine if they were interested in two of those picks, Jabari and or like Cam or Reed, or – even if they were interested in Jalen, I'd consider it. But overall, yeah, if you could get away for bare bones and not a whole lot more than that, I think you could consider it. The biggest other scare tactic that for me in this deal would be he's probably going to want an extension.
Oh, yeah, he would.
And I don't know that I want to give him that extension.
Like, it could be a Jimmy Butler extension, though, where it's like adding 2 years. Because next year is the final year of his deal. Like, I'm not so sure Phoenix can get that much for Kevin Durant, who's in the final year of his deal, and then it would require that team signing him to whatever extension that he wants. I think Kevin Durant can dictate where he goes.
See, I think that you could keep Fred because I think that Fred, if you knew Kevin Durant was coming in, would probably restructure his deal so that you could keep Fred on the roster too, which I think helps.
It might take Fred's salary to match it, though.
I was thinking Dylan.
Yeah, he makes less, though. I mean, he's making probably going to make half of what Fred VanVleet's going to make. What Fred's gets like somewhere in the 40s.
Fred's in the 40s.
Yeah. Dylan's going to be in the 20s.
But, yeah, you've got to come within 15%. I don't know who else that they could throw in that because, you know, all the big guys are expiring. And Holiday. Holiday's making 10, but he's got one more year. Holiday's got one more, but I think that, like, Jock Landale and Steven Adams at 10+, I don't think you can throw those guys into the deal because I think they're expiring.
So from that perspective,
yeah, maybe then you'd have to pick up the option on Fred and then use him as part of the deal. I don't think Phoenix wants it.
See, what I'm hoping here is that Kevin Durant forces his way to Houston and the Rockets get him at a discount.
That'd be great.
You would take it that. You would take
it. If he comes here at a discount, I'm not denying anything that you said about them being a better team.
And then we get to see if they're a contender or not. Two firsts, Reed Sheppard, Cam Whitmore. And then throw in a veteran.
You got to throw in one.
Yeah,
of them for
we'll
the
figure out the money later.
No, but I'm saying you lose one of the veterans.
Sure, you lose one of the veterans. Two first, Reed and Cam.
And then
we'll figure out the salary later.
I think you probably have to. I would do that just simply because of the fact that you have to compete.
Is that realistic?
I don't know that it is.
See, I think he can force his way into that. I really do.
Well, that's the key. Like, I don't think right now, as we sit here today, and he hasn't done that yet, that's realistic. But at the end of the day, if he comes in and says, like Jimmy Butler, if you could come in and say, these are the teams and send the letters to all these teams, I will not play there. I don't want to go there. Now Phoenix starts getting a little antsy because now they're limited in terms of what they can do, and now that deal comes into play.
Especially
more.
If those picks are theirs.
Yeah.
And they're doing the soft rebuild. And he's in the final year of his deal. See, I think that Kevin Durant could be had for not cheap, but cheaper than what everybody thinks.
See, it would have to be where this is his preferred destination. And the biggest thing that you have sitting in your back pocket that no one else has is those picks that are theirs.
Yeah.
Because they already know that they're facing the reality they didn't want to face, which is they're going to be a lottery team.
Yeah. Which, I mean, Rafael Stone, we gave him a lot of grief for trading those picks for the Phoenix picks. It could turn out to be 4D chess that Rafael Stone was playing.
Now, the Brooklyn picks are going to be pretty high, too.
But it was only this year, right? Didn't he hang on to one of them, too?
I thought it was last year, this year, and one more?
I thought it was two for two.
Two for two.
I thought it was at least two.
I thought there were three.
I thought they recouped a first out of it because they were further down the road.
I have to go back and look at it. I knew that Brooklyn was going to suck this year. I didn't think Phoenix would. And then you believe that their whole focus is going to be that their window's always going to be open, that they're going to trade away draft picks and try and just keep spending money on veterans. And it's completely capsized.
Yeah. Yeah, Kevin Durant needs to force his way. The Brooklyn Nets have acquired their 25 first from the Rockets in exchange for they've acquired a 25 first and their first pick in 26. So the 25 and 26 pick for a 2025 first, which is like Oklahoma City, Phoenix, the Phoenix 2027 first, and then the rights to another pick. Phoenix's first pick in the Rockets got a pick out of this.
Yeah, so then they did get three first for two.
The Nets have acquired their 25 first round pick, their first round pick in 26 in exchange for a 25 first round pick swap, the Suns 27 first round pick, and one in 29,
I think.
Phoenix first round pick in 29. So they did gain an extra first.
Well, the extra is the pick swap, so potentially they gain an extra pick, but possibly not.
No, it's a big swap from other teams.
Okay, okay.
So they will gain – how good it is depends, but they do get that first.
The biggest thing is
going to
be the
ping pong
balls.
So they got three first for two first. Oh, yeah.
Because, I mean, Brooklyn's going to have a far lesser record than Phoenix. But with the ping pong balls, all you can say is you got a lottery – there were lottery picks being involved in it either way. It's Phoenix's lottery picks, lottery balls, or if it's Brooklyn's. I think Brooklyn – the reason why I was so apprehensive is I knew Brooklyn was going to suck this year and next year.
How
I thought Phoenix was going to. I literally thought Phoenix could contend for a title this year.
How the lotto balls break will probably be the determining factor, unless you trade that pick for Kevin Durant. Yeah. A few texts on this. You think he would buy into Ime? I think he would. I think Kevin Durant's like. I think he likes to be coached.
I don't disagree with that. I think he is old school in that way. Look, one thing that I will give him and Russell Westbrook credit, because I wasn't sure when they came into the league and then when they started, you know, forcing their way out and the things that they've done. But everybody that I've talked to and everything I've heard is that once they get with a team, it's not like Kyrie Irving. Like in Brooklyn, he would never have said about Steve Nash what Kyrie did, that we don't need a coach.
Uh-huh.
He is coachable and he loves the game of basketball. We played that clip about with Jabari and Jalen. He's doing the same thing Jabari and Jalen's doing. He's 35. And he's in the weight room when he's not lifting and coming back day after day. He loves basketball that much. I don't take any of that away from him. That's a valuable asset.
You both are correct. Yes, they are better and closer to a championship contender, but not quite there without another closer. Blankers is a negative Nancy. That's not very nice. guys. Everybody wants KD till he gets in his feelings and starts doing KD stuff. That's probably fair. We're basically getting Kevin Durant after the All-Star break anyways. Welcome back, Jabari Smith. I am looking forward to the return of Jabari. I do think he makes this team better.
He definitely helps in terms of the little things. I mean, the things that people don't pay enough attention to. His ability to defend, but his rebounding and blocking of shots to defend are big.
This team with KD is definitely a contender. Blinkers is crazy to think that they're not. Kevin is still going to demand the ball, and it will take away from the good chemistry the Rockets have. I don't believe that. I think Kevin would fit in. Am I being crazy there to think that?
I think
he'd fit in.
I think from an execution standpoint, look, it'd be one thing if it was like the Aaron Rodgers Jet situation where he still wants MVP Aaron Rodgers like respect and treatment, and yet he's not performing like it. But if you give KD the ball in the fourth quarter, but he's getting buckets when you give him the ball, I don't think anybody's going to have a problem saying, here, let me get out of your way.
He's tough. I want to see what Rockets do in the playoffs before breaking up the roster. Well, you will. Hopefully you will. KD will only be serviceable for a year or two. I'd love to have him, but not giving up much for a two-year rental. Durant has probably two more good years left in him.
I agree with that.
If you had to trade two players for a star, who would it be?
Two players. I would trade Jabari Smith as one of them.
I would go Reed and Cam.
If they'd take it.
Yeah. I mean, he didn't define players.
I was going to say, right. If you needed one of like their starting young guys, then I would trade Jabari, and then I would trade Reed or Cam.
They didn't play together at UT. Ivy left in 04. Durant was there in 06. They must play like intramural, or not intramural, just like pickup hall, I guess. All those young guys would be gone if we get him. I don't think they all would. It's not risky. You have all the Suns picks. You won't have to give up a lot of players. Booker sucks. He's been awful this year, says the texter.
The whole team has.
Rockets looking a little better, but defense hasn't looked as good as it was. I think Jabari helps you. And their attention to detail around the rim is maddening. Don't want Durant. It's like Justin Timberlake and Social Network. This is an interesting comp. You want to be a millionaire or a billionaire? Keep the picks and set up for crazy talent being added to the roster while contending. What do you think about that?
It's easy to say, not as easy to do. You look at Oklahoma City, and forever and a day, Sam Presti had all those picks and was just loaded. But the best thing that he ever did was acquire Shai Gilgeous-Alexander in a trade with the Clippers, which set him up to be able to have a flexibility to do a whole lot more. Because you can keep drafting these young kids, and you can keep adding them to your roster like the Rockets, but you might still be asking the questions the Rockets are asking about, can any one of these guys truly become a superstar?
Yeah.
You've got to be able to find in those draft picks an Anthony Edwards or a Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, whether it be a trade or those draft picks. You still got to have a bus driver that can do what we're talking about, even with Kevin Durant, but hopefully do it at a very young age.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind if they kept the picks either. Like, it'd be kind of fun. Apparently, they played together in Oklahoma City. Royal Ivy was there from 10 to 12. And Durant was there from 07 to 16. They probably also knew each other because of the alumnus.
How many years did Ivy play in the NBA?
Looks like he played quite a bit.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
2004 through 2014.
Wow, good on him.
And then he went to the Guangdong Southern Tigers in his 2014. CBA. That was the final. Oh, that was CBA?
Yeah.
I didn't know anything about the Guangdong. Can you tell me more about Guangdong?
That's where Yao's an owner. Yao, owner and commissioner. Did he get commissioner now of the CBA?
That's the CBA? I thought you meant Canada.
No.
Chinese
Basketball Association.
Is that what they call it?
Yeah. The CBA.
I thought that was Canada.
I believe Joel is correct.
What do they call the one in Canada? Also the CBA?
Do they have a league in Canada?
Does Canada have a national basketball
league? Yeah, do they have a league in Canada?
Yeah, didn't like Master P and like Roy Jones Jr. play like a game or two there?
They played for the Raptors.
I'm pretty sure there was a CBA. We'll look at it during the break. Did you ever see The Social Network?
Yes.
You did?
Yes.
It's a good movie.
Look, I was big on movies until I got married. My wife does not like going to movies or watching movies.
I like that movie. All right, 713-780-ESPN. The greatest Bad Take Boulevard of all time comes up next. It is the Bees, ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Follow ESPN Houston on social media at ESPN 97.5.
Time to welcome some new takes.
Right this way.
To Bad Take Boulevard.
If only there was something in your head to control the things you say.
It's the dumbest argument ever.
With the Killer Bees.
Can I just say that I'm an idiot for listening to you?
All right, it's the greatest Bad Take Boulevard ever. So much to get to. We begin with Dana Brown, Astros general manager earlier this offseason.
Our mindset right now is that he's not going elsewhere and that we want to sign him. So if he ends up going elsewhere, we'll cross that bridge when we get there. But I'm going into this offseason with the thought process that we're going to get pregnant now. Hopefully, you know, we can do it. And as I said, you know, the conversations with Scott have been productive.
He's a Boston Red Sox. Dana Brown, you made the list.
You just made the list!
We stopped believing things that Dana Brown says a long time ago. Another example of this, but Dana Brown, you make the list.
I mean, he said at one point, not in that clip, but another one, where he's Bregman's plan A and there's no plan B. I'm paraphrasing a little bit, but I mean,
I remember that.
It could not be further from the truth, actually.
Yeah. I mean, you can't. Dana Brown, the boy.
Works out.
I mean, I don't really care. But we just have to be aware that what he says does not matter. We can't work cite Dana Brown. We can't use him as a piece of evidence. He says anything and everything. We don't discriminate on bad take bullet. My mom has made the list. Blind Willie's made the list. You've made the list. I've made the list. I made it like five times last week. Jose Altuve, you made the list, I think, for the first time.
I don't want to get to the idea of thinking about last name with Breggy. Like I said 2 weeks ago, I'm pretty confident that he's going to be our third baseman next year. We have to, because, you know, we're not going to be the same organization without him. So in my mind, there's not a chance that this is the last game.
Altuve made the list. Maybe Bregman.
You just made the list.
Maybe Bregman will be the third baseman in Boston. Might play the second baseman.
I cannot believe you.
Come on.
I cannot believe you just said that.
We called him a third baseman. Maybe the writing was on the wall. I didn't like Bregman. Call him a third.
I'm sitting that one out.
Me too.
Altuve made the list.
Me too, Brian. Me too.
I'm Mexican. I can get away with that.
You have the option to that Joel and I don't have there.
Mark Ryan makes the list.
You just made the list!
Former sports radio 610 guy. Now,
yeah.
Where's he at now? I don't even know. Why did you say it like that?
He's in South Carolina, or at least was.
Tillman Fertitta called him on the air once and, like, undressed him.
Yeah.
When was he at 610?
Maybe early 2018 to, I don't know, sometime in 2019. It was not a... I don't think it was a banner run for Mark Ryan.
Yeah, I don't even recall his name. I remember
he had moments.
Kamala. I don't remember.
Rick Kamala was on for 3 months. I remember that one well because I was running that show. Mark Ryan, he's a very nice guy. He just he had that college football show that would come on either before my fantasy show with Josh Beard and Joe over there, or I think it might have come on after you guys with the
Bull Rush.
Bull Rush. That was trying to remember the Texan show you guys had. But he had just moments because he promotes himself as a college football guy, and then asked like 5 months after Mike Leach had been hired away from Texas Tech if Mike Leach was going to go back to Texas Tech. Yeah, there's just random moments where you really wonder what's going on with him. But nice guy overall.
He tweeted yesterday, 6:24 p.m. What time did Bregman sign? Maybe like 8:24?
It wasn't long after, yeah.
Maybe closer to 9. But like, so 2.5 hours before Bregman signed. Mark Ryan on air. From a trusted MLB source, Alex Bregman is down to the Tigers and Cubs. A direct quote, it's Detroit or the Cubs. If Tigers go to 7 years, they get him. 2.5 hours later, it is not Detroit. It is not Chicago. It is Boston. Mark Ryan, you made the list.
You just made the list.
Defenses online for people calling him out.
I didn't.
Yeah, so someone tweeted out a massive tweet fail. His reply, not really. It was correct in real time.
Oh,
we're talking
okay.
about a 2-hour difference between your tweet and when the news actually happened that he's going to the Red Sox. It was never correct, Mark.
Yeah, it's always real in real time. I guess like this guy, I don't even know who this is. JW Investments, Astro Insider. He claims he's a rando on Twitter. My sources, he tweeted this at me, though. It's the only reason that I'm repeating this. My sources have confirmed that Alex Bregman will be signing with the Detroit Tigers. It will be 6 years, 162. So he's off on the team. He's off on their offer as well. So, JW, just because you tweeted me there and then you got it wrong, you made the list.
You just made the list!
Let's get to our ode to Carl Ravitch. Carl Ravitch had another banger earlier this week. He fell for the whole SEC in conference play is 500. Here is Carl Ravitch earlier this week.
We know how dominant they were in the non-conference season, the SEC. They were 185-23. Since January 4 into Tuesday, the SEC teams are 82-82. It's not as if one team or two teams or three. They're 82-82. Like, there's been no ability to pull away. There's no dominant group of teams.
He later tried to say he was being tongue-in-cheek and that he was joking here.
Saw that.
How? Like, he just he was defending it on the air.
That is,
he was talking about what he's saying.
That is such weak sauce when he's like, and then he tried to be like, oh, I stumbled upon this. He's like, oh, been traveling. All of a sudden, Twitter's on fire. And then tried to like, oh, I was tongue-in-cheek. No, you were not.
Listen to how you're talking about it, Carl. And I don't like Carl Ravitch for a lot of reasons. He's very smug and snarky about the Astros. He thinks he's better than now when it comes to baseball. He's a studio guy that they're forced into play-by-play because they canceled baseball tonight. He's also one of those schmucks that calls multiple RBIs RBI. He's like, oh, there's three RBI. He's an elitist.
I feel like that was thrown in just for me.
Here was Carl Ravitch calling a baseball game last year, 2 years ago. Here's the situation. Pay attention to the situation here. It matters. Bases loaded, one out, tie game in the bottom of the 10th. So winning runs at third, right? We all infield's drawn in. Rangers batting, Cubs on defense. Carl Ravitch, take it away.
And watched it come through a high chopper, fielded home. The force is out. They had it out at first if they wanted it, but they get it at home. What a play.
Why would they want it, Carl? Thinking.
Yeah, they weren't going to double
processing. Yeah, oh, there it is. There's the defense. Oh, they weren't going to double. No, you're wrong. Why would they want the out at first, Carl? They would lose the game, Carl. It gets worse. Carl Ravitch calling a game on Mother's Day. Trenton Cassis, the first baseman for the Red Sox. Carl?
You know, we had Alex Cora on. I know your mom passed away when you were young. What does Mother's Day mean to you and your brother?
Yeah, you know, what happened was unfortunate to me, but I have so many mother figures in my life.
Oh, ask him about his dead mom while he's playing a game on Mother's Day. It's Carl Ravitch, man. It's Carl Ravitch.
There's no defending him either. It's tough.
For some reason, they allow this guy to call College World Series games in Omaha. Pay attention to the situation here. Oral Roberts down 5-3. Top of the ninth inning. Two runners on. Top of the ninth inning. Carl?
And this one is hammered to left field. Did he do it? Yes, sir! Walk-off home run. The nine-hitter Blaze Brothers. And Oral Roberts rallies and wins it. TCU, I should say, in a walk-off. Top half, that's right, not bottom. Three-run shot, though, puts them on top after it felt like they were down and out. 6-5. Blaze Brothers.
You got to give him credit. He called the first ever top nine walk-off home run. It's baseball history.
He tried to correct it by saying, no, it was TCU.
Yeah, nope, still wrong. Still wrong.
What? Top of the ninth walk-off. This one might be my favorite, though. I mean, he's rich history here of awful, awful, awful takes and calls. Carl Ravitch interviewing Dusty Baker before an Astro game.
Today is Juneteenth. Mm-hmm. We're in the state of Texas. Mm-hmm. You're obviously a black man, as you told us a few minutes ago.
No, play the rest of it. Play the rest of it. There's more. There's more. There's a little bit more. He goes... Like you told us earlier. He goes, like you told us earlier.
It's just, like, I mean, you didn't you know that? You can't make this up. It's just, that's a reel that he wishes doesn't exist, but because it does, what? I mean, ESPN, are you just, like, continuing to just turn the other way? Because he is one of their premier guys on just about everything that they do.
He does their top baseball. SEC basketball games. He does College World Series. He's Sunday Night Baseball,
Sunday Night
right?
Baseball.
What are we doing?
That's my question.
He must have got a lifetime contract when he was on Baseball Tonight, and then when they canceled Baseball Tonight, they're like, hey, go to the booth.
It's really embarrassing because, yeah, he is their premier guy in so many different sports and telecasts, and yet he just continually makes these kinds of mistakes.
He goes, "You're a black guy like you told us before." What? You needed him to tell you that, Carl?
Was that him and was it him and Dusty?
No, it was just him and Dusty in his office, okay. In Dusty's office. Like, they were doing a little interview in Dusty's office. Yeah.
That's awful. Because he did another one similar to that where I thought he had another screw-up with the Rangers manager and Dusty at the same time.
He might have.
Yeah, it's bad.
I'm curious how many Joe George takes are here. There's been a lot. I feel like Dana's 10 years of car wreck at the Golden Age. Did Dana Brown not give Bregman a fair offer? I mean, 6'1", 56. You are Turd Ferguson. You just made the list. They all just made the list. Yeah, so here's a little bit more of the Carl Ravitch, because it got even better. There's a little subtle thing at the end that I really enjoy from Carl Ravitch being kind of a racist to Dusty Baker to his face.
Today is Juneteenth. Mm-hmm. We're in the state of Texas. Mm-hmm. You're obviously a black man, as you told us a few minutes ago. Mm-hmm. Can't change that. What does this day mean in that?
No, you didn't play all
you
of
can't
it.
Change that.
You didn't play it all.
That was what you had on the clip. I could keep going.
Oh, no, that's it. That's, you didn't have that the first time, right?
Yeah.
He goes, you can't change that. Would he have wanted to, Carl? Like,
I mean,
are you suggesting he should want to change that?
I want to believe that that's just a very unfortunate phrasing that they should have redone. Like, there should have been a producer there that said, hey, Carl, this is what you said. We're going to redo this.
You're a black man like you told us just a bit ago. Play,
I know.
Play it one
I
more
think
time.
He's trying to say, like, maybe you told us, like, this day was important to you or your heritage is important. He's trying to say. He just phrases it horribly.
You can kind of hear Dusty's like, mm-hmm. It's like, where are you going with this, Carl? One more time. Listen to the, like you told us before or earlier, and then you can't change that.
Good, yeah. Today is Juneteenth. Mm-hmm. We're in the state of Texas. Mm-hmm. You're obviously a black man, as you told us a few minutes ago. Mm-hmm. Can't change that. What does this day mean in that sense?
Can't change that.
Like, is he trying to be cute there or just that naive?
You're obviously a black man, like you just told us a few minutes ago.
Like, you told us a few minutes ago thing, I think I can explain, but you can't change that. That I have no idea what he's trying to say.
Carl, were you curious if he was a black man or not?
Hey, to Carl's defense, he doesn't see color.
Like you told us a few minutes ago. You can't change that either. Ha ha! You can't change that.
There's a lot of people who claim they don't see color. Carl Ravitch literally does not see color. He didn't know a black man was standing in front of him. Give him credit. Pat on the back.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. How do they employ this guy? I guess we'll save
it's
the
Juneteenth.
Rest of these.
Mm-hmm. We're in the state of Texas.
I mean,
you're obviously a black man, as you told us a few minutes ago. Mm-hmm. Can't change that. What is...
Can't change that! Like you told us a few minutes ago. And someone just texted in. What does the state of Texas have to do with anything?
Well, I think Juneteenth was... Didn't that holiday start here in Texas? I think it did. I think it did.
In Galveston, I believe.
Yeah, I think that's originally
okay, that would be the significance
yeah,
of
I think they actually highlighted it at some point.
Well, that makes sense, though.
Yeah, I definitely think that...
dumb texter. We all knew that.
That Juneteenth started in Galveston. Yep.
You didn't know that, texter? How could you not know that? You're a black man, like you told us a few minutes ago. You can't change that. Blank your mind. You're a white man. You can't change that.
Darn it.
Brian,
I was thinking can't change I could.
It. We'll save all these other bad takes for next week. They might be outdated next week. That's okay. Soriano, I didn't forget about you, by the way. Nick Cayley, he talked today. Play some of the Nick Cayley sound. We'll do that when we return. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5. Coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Killer Bees
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5. Carl Ravitch. Everybody's saying that I don't know what Juneteenth is. I know what Juneteenth is. I didn't know that it took place in Texas. I didn't know it started in Texas. That's the difference.
How long has this disdain for Carl been around for you?
Oh, ever since the Astros sign-stealing scandal. He was very pretentious about the Astros sign-stealing scandal.
I do recall that.
He rubbed me the wrong way. Plus, he's always been an RBIs guy. So I already had a disdain for him, And then on top of that, he started to be pretentious about the Astros, and he's been in my doghouse ever since.
Okay. I've had people like that.
Name one.
I can't remember the last. Well, Stephen A. gets under my skin quite a bit.
Yeah.
He's always done that because the same kind of thing. And I think it goes back to his radio show days when he would just flat out completely grossly miss on like who the manager of a team was or who was injured for the and hasn't played all year when they had a Thursday night football or a big football game. And he'd be like, I think the big difference maker is going to be the tight end who's been on the injured list all year. Like,
yeah. Yeah, he has a lot of misinformation. There's no doubt about that. How much of this Kaylee stuff do we want to play? I don't know if I want to can some of this for tomorrow.
I mean, at this
let's
point,
play a little bit, okay. I guess. What were you going
to
say?
I was going to say, at this point, we can save we'll the majority
a few.
Of it.
Yeah, we'll do it. We'll play a few. Here was D'Amico Ryans explaining the process of landing on Nick Kaylee and just trying to hire an OC.
Thank you all for being here today. It's an exciting time for us. As you all know, made a move at the offensive coordinator spot, and I went through a long process, thorough process of interviewing a lot of great candidates, college and pro candidates.
Did you catch that?
College and pro?
How many college candidates do we know that interviewed?
None, right?
I don't know of any.
The guy from Syracuse.
I was right.
Yeah, the OC from Syracuse.
He said candidates, not candidate.
True. I mean, I think the implication with Airbnb is they probably talked to Chip Kelly behind the scenes. And
I
then
think
he,
so.
And they decided, obviously, not to do that. But they at least officially interviewed one college guy.
Yeah, that's true. I forgot about that guy. I think that they did. I mean, it's been reported that they had informal conversations with Chip Kelly. So that was D'Amico talking about the process. Here was D'Amico talking about Nick Kaylee and why he landed on him.
Man, I couldn't be more excited to welcome Nick Kaylee as our new offensive coordinator, right? He brings a wealth of knowledge, smart coach. He's coached on the defensive side, offense, coached multiple positions, worked with a lot of different people, various schemes, not just beholden to one scheme. He's very well-versed in run game, pass game, protection. Like, he's well-versed in it all. So very smart coach, very energetic guy, great leader. Everybody I talked to about throughout this process had nothing but awesome things to say about Nick and his approach, the players that he's coached. Like, there's nothing but rave reviews about Nick and how he's helped guys in their careers. So I'm excited to work with him.
Why did you grin there, Blakers?
Because he very much singled out protection.
Yeah, it should be.
Yeah, I get it's part of it.
I don't think they should be trying to hide that.
But the fact that he's highlighting, we knew that, they have the talent to be a passing team, but you know that the running game and the protection are the biggest issues with this squad, so maybe that was indirectly.
I thought it was interesting that he was very quick to say he coached on the defensive side of the ball. So did Slowick.
Yeah, I was going to say, is that something that's different than the well-roundedness of a lot of coaches these days?
I wonder if he has a little bit of like a bias to guys who have coached on the other side of the ball.
Maybe.
Yeah. We'll hear one from Nick Kaylee. This was Nick Kaylee talking about his scheme.
It's not going to be my spin. It's going to be what's best for our players. And it's always going to be what's best for our players. No, we're not pounding a square peg into a round hole. It's going to be based on the strengths of our quarterback, the players, and the guys on this team. So that's what it will always be, designed around.
There you go. There's his scheme.
Coach talk.
He does talk with
he talks like Casario a little bit.
I think he has the cadence of McVay.
Oh, you can hear McVay in his voice, too.
Oh, you definitely hear McVay.
Yes, for sure. But I'm just saying he talks fast.
There's a guy on, I see him on TikTok. I think his handle is Brilliantly Dumb. He sounds to me like a hybrid between McVay and Brilliantly Dumb. I'll have Brian pull it. I don't do any work. I'll have Brian do all the hard work. I'll have Brian pull some Brilliantly Dumb voice VO stuff. It's not VO stuff. It's just like his reels. Because he sounds very similar to him. He does talk very fast. And he's not very long-winded. Like, he was answering everything within, 15 seconds.
Yeah, he's like a modern-day Jimbo Fisher. Like, he's as fast as Jimbo, but yet he's very
Jimbo
concise.
Jimbo Fisher's maybe the fastest talker in the
game. No doubt about it.
Jimbo's like you were listening on 2x speed.
Yes. Yep. There's been times where I've previewed Jimbo audios like, wait a second, did this get sped up? Like, it's thrown me off a couple times.
Yeah, he's a bit of a fast talker. Is Kaylee faster than Jimbo?
No.
So he's more one-and-a-half speed?
It's close.
Jimbo's the goat for fast talking.
If Jimbo's at two times, do you ever do that? You put on the YouTube and you go two times speed.
That.
I do that when I'm looking for something specific. I actually did it in the Carl Ravitch Dusty Baker thing.
Yeah, if you're skimming for something, that's one thing. But if you're actually like a podcast, if you're listening to listen,
yeah,
no.
I'm the same way. I can't even go like 1.25.
No, I've tried 1.25. Same. I can't do it.
I can't do it either. Unless I'm looking for something, then I'll do it. if Jimbo's two times speed, what is Nick Cayley?
1.5.
That's where I was going to put it at. I don't think it's 1.75.
No.
I don't think it's that close. I think it's 1.5.
Not that you guys need the ammunition. I don't know how to do what you're talking about. Speed up the...
Yeah. We'll show you the ways rudimentary
YouTube. I'm guessing you don't listen to podcasts, right?
Well, you can even do it on YouTube.
Yeah, you can do it on YouTube.
Like if you go to YouTube and you go to the settings right here.
Sometimes I listen to podcasts, but I don't.
Well, like if you pull up, you don't have an iPhone, so I don't know where it would be on yours. But there's a little icon at the bottom where it says 1X. You just tap it, and it'll change the speed.
Yeah, like whenever you go back and watch the shows again on YouTube, our shows again. Whenever you do that in the morning, you click on this little settings thing. You click on playback speed, and then you can speed it up however you want, or you could slow it down too. So if you wanted to, like, you know,
hear
maybe
us in
sound
Alvin
funny,
and the Chipmunks mode.
If you wanted to, like, maybe if I said something funny and you wanted to, like, cut it and make it, you know, embarrass me or whatever, you could do that. You can make it go fast. You can make it go slow. Straight out of Houston. All right, 713-780-ESPN. What is your car wreck of the day? 713-780-3776. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.
You all right?
My leg's broken. The bone's coming through.
Let me see. Give me your bone, you prick. Where's my money?
This is the car wreck of the day.
What is the car wreck of the day? 713-780-3776. Blankers, what do you have? Do you have more than one?
I just got one.
Okay, what you got? I have a ton.
Okay, I got one because of the fact that you and I like to critique play-by-play calls.
Mm-hmm.
This was the end of the first half of the Charlotte Hornets game last night. Compliments of Charlotte Radio.
Anthony! And that will do it for our first half of play. Oh, another ejection! Who got ejected now? Nick Smith Jr. got ejected. Wow. Oh, my goodness. This is getting kooky.
What? What happened?
So they had some ejections and some stuff going on in the first half. And right at the end of the first half, Nick Smith Jr. caught the rebound and just threw it over the baseline. And the official threw him out. And he just decided to just start screaming. And then at the end,
and then
on the air, decided at the very end, the best he could come up with is, "This is getting kooky.
This is getting kooky."
What?
What was the guy that used to be here that ended up doing the soccer calls and the really high pitched voice when they scored a goal? Big, tall, dark haired kid. He's doing soccer in North Carolina now.
I don't know his
professional
name.
Professional soccer. Matt. No, not Matt.
I know who you're talking about.
Yeah, and we
I don't
used
know
this,
the
it
guy,
sounds like Mickey Mouse when they score a goal. Like his audio goes way up.
Yeah, I remember the call, but I don't remember who it was.
I gotta find
the high pitched dude. Yeah.
That was getting kooky.
Getting kooky.
Can you work that into your call this weekend?
I might try. Yeah, I might try. I'll see what I can do. Carl Ravitch, my first of four car wrecks for a variety of different things that he's done wrong in his recent career. Carl Ravitch, car wreck of the day. Boston Red Sox for paying Alex Bregman 3 years, $120 million. There are five players that are making $40 million a year AAV, and Bregman's AAV is probably not going to be $40 million because of the deferred money. But Alex Bregman does not belong in the likes of Shohei Ohtani, Juan Soto, Aaron Judge, and Zach Wheeler conversation, so they get it. Kadarius Toney, arrested, allegedly strangled a woman. He's due his due process. But not a great look there. And then myself for it's not the CBA, it's the CEBL apparently, Canadian Elite Basketball League.
Oh,
not the
okay.
Canadian Basketball
Completely
Association,
different acronym.
But it does
Canadian
exist.
Elite
apparently,
yeah.
Maybe it used to
Isn't
be the CBA.
Maybe,
maybe it used to be the CBA.
It feels like an oxymoron, Canadian Elite.
And for my lack of history knowledge, I guess I'll do better next time.
Yeah, that was a little problematic.
What do you got, Brian?
We've all heard of the NFL reporter Jordan Schultz? He breaks news from time to time.
He's good.
Well, he's so good, apparently, at least one thing, fantasy football, that he waits to, if he gets news about a trade or release or anything that might affect his starting lineup or moves in free agency in his fantasy leagues, he waits till he makes the move in his league, apparently, he just admitted, to actually break the news.
I used to not.
Okay.
Like 2 years ago, I wouldn't do it. I never won my fantasy league. In fact, I barely ever made the playoffs. I was so bad. But this year, I did like four or five waiver wire moves that I knew were going to happen, that were going to trigger. And I ended up getting the player or dropping the player, and I actually won the league. I won the league.
Congratulations.
Whenever like a big trade happens, or if I break a big story and I have picked up the person before, Josh or CJ or like Taylor Rook, there's a lot of media people in this league. They'll be like, that's or yeah. Like, you knew? And I will be fully transparent. Had I not done what needed to be done, there's no way I would have won the league.
It's a little Bush League. It's a little Bush League.
That's really Bush League.
I don't think it is.
Why?
It's inside trader
information.
It is insider trading.
It's not illegal.
It's not illegal. That's why it's Bush League. It's not against the rules. It's just a little shady.
I don't think it's Bush League, though. Like, so before he would break the news, like on Twitter, he would make fantasy moves.
Yeah, so if he heard someone was getting traded, he would make the move in his fantasy league that would pay off on that information, and then he would release
the news.
It's
his hustle, though. Like, he's the one that's finding the information. Like, any of these other guys could do the same thing that he's doing, but they're not good at it. It's not. He said there's other media people in there with him, too.
We don't know. Like, let's assume it's a 12-team league. Yeah, he didn't say it's 100% media person. So, like, let's say three or four people aren't media. They're playing in, under a completely set of information than Jordan, so.
He's finding it out on his own hustle, though.
Yeah, but those, whoever's not in the media doesn't have access to that information. You're playing. It's not a different set of rules.
Sure,
but
he found that information.
I know. It just feels. I don't know.
He discovered it.
I agree. I think it's shady.
So what is he supposed to do? Tweet it out and then make the roster move?
Yeah.
No. Absolutely.
No way. You are soft. No chance. Like, if you're the first person to find out a transaction in the NFL, do you tell the group, hey, this happened, and then you make the move?
We all have access to it. We all have access to the same information,
but some
though.
People can sit in front of the computer more often than others. Like,
yeah, but we all have the chance of the same information.
What's winning here?
Carl Ravage.
Yeah. Congratulations, Carl. You win. It's going to do it for us. Thanks to Brian for the hard work. He's Blank on Branham. Talk to you tomorrow, Houston. Athletically Declined, coming up at 7 right here on ESPN 97.5.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Save big on everything for your next project when you shop at Menards. Get a premium finish with less odor and fumes for your painting project with Rust-Oleum's low odor spray paint. It provides a long-lasting, durable finish, making it perfect for indoor or outdoor projects. Save big on Rust-Oleum spray paints now at Menards. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening this week. Save